one final addendum to that reminder is if you irrigate with irrigation water and you pull the end sprinkler, stay away from the mud that flies out of that.
Check your screens. Clean your screens.
Yes. Thank you very much. I will turn it over to Steve Wright.
Okay, thank you. I want to take a quick second and just review the history on this project and where we are, and then Chad Rissman's going to provide a presentation about some fairly significant progress that we've made here in the last week. So first of all, we've had great public engagement throughout, I think a very respectful process. Having been involved in a lot of public processes, this has been by any measure an extraordinary effort at public engagement. Today, I think we take another important step in the process where we continue down the path of narrowing options for substation location and associated transmission and distribution siting. This whole process began 2 years ago with a misstep where we took an action on a property prior to notifying the community as to both our challenge and our purpose. And as a result, we essentially started the process over again. And it's been a process of listen, learn, and lead. And we're still in the middle of listen, learn, and lead in that cycle. We engaged a community group to describe our need for a substation. We heard considerable concern about being near the load center at that time, trying to locate near the load center. So we looked at options away from the load center. Those options led to an increased need for wire in the air, which with the importance of views in the Lake Chelan area, caused us to go back to the drawing board and basically start over again. This also led us to add a key element to our analysis as to the relative impact on viewshed for property owners. So that has been an important consideration for every option that we've looked at since. With community engagement, we pivoted back to the load center. We heard considerable input for undergrounding, transmission, and locating near the lookout. We engaged consultants and provided information to the community about the costs and reliability impacts of undergrounding transmission. We also described the significant challenge of connecting a substation located at the lookout because of the terrain in that area, particularly the slope that's there. We described that based on cost, reliability, and viewshed impacts that the best alternatives appeared to be north of the Chelan-Manson line, closer to the load center. Since late spring, we have been engaging landowners to identify potential properties that would best meet our criteria. Today, we're bringing forward two options for public consideration. I want to stress that I am feeling an increasing tension because Chelan PUD has responsibility and accountability to keep the lights on. Providing reliable electric service is important for business continuity, personal comfort, and convenience, but most important for human health and safety. This public engagement process has been very important. I feel very positive about the way it has been conducted, both from folks from the community and the efforts on the part of PUD staff. But it's also important that we make a decision and initiate the development of capacity necessary to maintain reliability for that community. We need one substation built pretty soon. We may need another one within the next 10 to 15 years. And so we've got some work to do there to try to understand the load growth projections and even think about whether we would want to take options on both of these properties. So let me just say, I understand and I frequently think as I'm sitting here about the people who are appearing before us, how hard it must be on them to have their lives disrupted as we're going through this process and not knowing what the outcome will be. But it has been necessary to take this length of time because of the myriad concerns we've heard and trying to make sure that we address everything that has come up along the way. The board has provided staff the guidance that we should seek the best outcome for the most people for the longest period of time. We believe these options reflect that guidance as best we can, although we remain open to hearing public comment today and in the coming weeks. I want to emphasize that we have not made a decision on a staff recommendation as to which of the two options to be discussed today is preferable for construction. And I am personally wrestling with that. I have been up and visited those sites in the last couple of weeks and trying to think through all the things that we've heard from the public as to appropriate considerations. It's also possible we may recommend acquiring both sites, beginning construction on one and keeping the other to serve future load growth, as what one of the things that we've heard from the community is be a good idea to plan ahead and be ready for load growth because it almost certainly will happen. We completed getting the options and easements for the two properties just at the end of last week. Friday morning, as a matter of fact, we got the final agreement. Due to the intense interest in the Chelan community, we are bringing this into the public domain before we have even had a chance to complete the cost estimating for the projects. We do that because we feel it's our commitment to transparency that we show things as quickly as we know them to the public. We are not seeking a decision today, and we remain committed to engaging the community in the coming weeks, and you'll see that we are committed to a community meeting next week to further discuss this as well. So this is an opportunity, though, to hear from our staff about what the specific two options are and to also take public comment on where we are in this process. With that, I'm going to invite Chad to come on up. And he's going to be joined by Gary Rice.
Morning, commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Chad Rissman, Director of Distribution and Asset Management and Engineering, and
Gary Rice, Project Manager in Engineering and Project Management.
I want to thank Gary and Tika very much for putting together a lot of information in a very short period of time. We were really focused in on identifying these property purchase options and the property themselves, doing some feasibility stuff, but it was a lot of back of the napkin, not in a presentable form. And just over the last few days, Gary and Tika have worked really hard, along with a lot of support people, to put together some presentations so we could actually get a better understanding of what these two options may look like. As Steve Wright said, just want to caution a little bit. All this information got generated fast and furious, and there's a lot of work still that needs to be done. As Steve said, we were hoping to bring forward some costs, but we had some questions about the assumptions and things that we were using. So we're still performing some work and putting some things together, but we wanted to get some ideas out there so that we can understand what our challenges might be a little bit better, and see what we can't do to work through those. So as Steve mentioned, on May 15th, board gave district staff guidance to seek. Staff brought forward three options, and we considered various elements of each one of those options, including the aesthetic impact or the view shed impacts, the costs, the number of easements that may be required for each one of those, and then of course, you know, the operation, meeting the operational needs. So when we brought forward those three options, a lot of those numbers were really high. So the guidance that we received back was to go seek options that are above the transmission line, as Steve mentioned, and as close to as possible to the to the load center as we can find. We sought out through various methods a couple of property owners that were at least willing to discuss with us some options along their property, but those things were limited as they've got plans for their property. I think we can all understand that. So what I'm getting at there is our options were limited, and you know, we're finding that no matter which option has challenges with it, we're not finding the perfect and zero impact option. Maybe just go back here. Did I cover everything on here? So I wanted to go through in this presentation. Gary's going to spend a lot of time. He's the expert really on how these stations are laying out, putting together, working with our consultants to lay out the designs and get some of the specifics so we can understand what really this is going to look like. Engineering and cost analysis, we put together this presentation on two sites that, as we mentioned, we've removed the cost. We have some questions about those, but where we're looking at in terms of costs, the three options that were brought forward were between $9 and $12 million, somewhere in there. These two options are towards the lower end of that. So, you know, we're brought it down from the average, but like I said, we're still working on those cost estimates. Talk a little bit about next steps and timelines. And as was mentioned, no decisions. So we're seeking some guidance and public input today. What have we done? What have we been doing recently here. So just on September 15th, just a few days ago, we emailed several folks to try to get the word out that we've identified and secured two purchase options with two separate property owners. Sent out emails, tried to get some invites out, although it was short notice. As Steve mentioned, we're trying to get the word out as best as we can. We're seeking guidance today, so we just wanted to be sure that we understand there's still a lot of work in design and finalizing the design moving forward. A Chelan focus group meeting is scheduled for the 25th, so we'll be taking what we hear today, this information, and try to get a better understanding of maybe some adjustments and things that that we might be able to make that's within the scope. I want to talk a little bit about the, which is probably the most significant thing before us today, is these two property purchase options. So there's some key highlights with those. There's two separate property owners, Mr. Hellyer and Mr. Henderson. Mr. Henderson, we've been working with him since the beginning of this process. In fact, as Steve mentioned, at the very beginning of this process, we had an option with Mr. Henderson without doing public engagement. That option we let lapse, so there was no longer an option with him. But we went back to Mr. Henderson, and he was willing to work with us on some other locations. So we also, through the process, identified another property owner, Mr. Hellyer. So the option that we have with Mr. Hellyer is just off of Boyd Road. It's up a little bit higher on Boyd Road, and we'll talk about that. So we're referring that to that as the Boyd Road option. The Henderson option is a little bit further towards the lake, down Boyd Road, up off Henderson Road. And we're referring to that as option number 7. Option number 7 was one of the original options when we started the engagement some time ago. So that's kind of stuck in some of our minds. We can't let it go quite yet. But so there's the Boyd Road option, and then the Henderson option number 7 is what we'll go through. Gary will go through in greater detail. We're only evaluating these two options going forward. This is the two options that the district has that we've secured. These options expire in through November. So at the end of November, they expire. That's really setting our timeline. We're trying to make a decision and move things forward by the end of November is what we're wanting to keep our timeline and keep our substation design timeline going. So the immediate goal is to select the best site. And as Steve mentioned, our long-range plan, which I brought a board up here we can take a look at, but our long-range plan calls for two substations along the Boyd Road. Long-range plan, we're talking 20-plus years, potentially 15, 20 years, and, of course, always dependent on the load growth. We see a lot more load growth, that'll move up. See less, it'll move out. But we know for a fact we'll need an additional substation in the area. So the question before us is, do we want to move on that? Is one of these sites good, feel like it's good enough? And that will be part of the analysis and recommendation going forward. Our long-range plan, maybe just a little bit more on that. So we're talking about sort of the upper part of Boyd Road and then the lower part of Boyd Road. So these two are really kind of in the middle, so we'll have to do some additional analyses and get a better sense of how best these look. But for us moving forward today is looking at which one of these is going to be most appropriate immediately for a substation. Starting with this map, before Gary takes over here, I just wanted to go back to the red circles here represents the original 18, I believe, areas that were identified by the focus group. There was a possible location within each one of these circles, but we ran with the focus group, we ran this through our evaluation criteria to try to get an understanding of which of these areas to focus in on. So we're trying to go back to that original criteria These are all things like proximity to transmission line, proximity to load center, availability of land, topology of land, access to the potential site. So those are all the criteria that we put together here. What we're finding is we're having to make concessions or sacrifices. There's no perfect option that we're identifying here. So we need to make sure that we move, when we move forward with the decision-making, that we're understanding the details of these things in terms of costs, in terms of the amount of lines that we're building, what's going to be overhead, what's going to be underground, what's the transmission implications, what's the access implications, viewshed implications. Those are all going to be decisions that were going to be impactful for the choices that we make. So highlighted there in green is generally fairly big circle, and we'll zoom in on those. Gary will zoom in on those, but those are about where those two sites are. So just with respect to all the other choices that or all the other options that we evaluated early on in this process, this is how these two relate to those other options. As you can see, the site number, the Henderson that we're referring to, site 7 Henderson parcel, is closest to that load center line. It is also immediately adjacent to or closer to the transmission line. So the implications to that is less transmission line to build. It's also closer to the load center, so seemingly our distribution lines that we would have to construct would be less. The Hellier site is a little bit further up Boyd Road, further away from the load center. It's also further away from the transmission line. So these are the various options that come up with these two sites. Any questions before we get into the details, or at least the details that we have to date on the setup of this and how we got here?
Mr. Congdon.
Morning.
Morning.
Chad, you said before I'll ask it now because I might forget by the time we finish Gary's presentation. You made a comment about the two sites that we're looking at today, the two proposed sites, and you said one is further up to, and I've visited them several times, I know where they are, but your comment was one's further up Boyd Road and one's further down Boyd Road, and that we'd need to do some more analysis to do what? Was that to determine if those two sites would be suitable long-term, like in our long-range planning?
Correct. So in the long-range plan, I've got a board of this, but without any land or any of this work that we've done with outreach, the engineering plan that's not constrained by any of that just says here's the best electrically, mm-hmm. shows a substation at the intersection of the yellow transmission line and the blue line, the lower transmission line, mm-hmm. shows a station needed there electrically. Then it shows another station further up, like halfway between there and where the two yellow transmission lines intersect, right around number 14. So it's actually showing the substations a little bit further apart electrically. The question in my mind is, we're bringing both of these in a little bit closer together. Does that defeat the purpose of having two because of the minimized distance between them? I have that question in my mind. Would we constrained capacity, meaning would we build that additional substation and not necessarily get the capacity out of it? Or would the lines have to be long enough where our viewshed impacts or our costs would be increased? So those questions in my mind on whether or not electrically this would be as effective and as an option, but those are things that we'll have to work on and bring forward.
That was my question too, because they're fairly close together in the big picture. Where the two yellow lines converge, or where they meet up in the top left part of the photo with the red circle, is that Boyd Road and Winesap? It is
correct.
So that was a proposed URIC. Was that the URIC site?
Close, actually. The URIC site is shown there. So if you go just, Gary's right got there. The cursor over. It's in blue there, the most upper. So that was one of the options that we looked at.
So one last, mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, may I ask one last question? So that's an important question, an important work, the analysis to determine if in fact, you know, these sites long term will be suitable. If they're too close together and won't provide what we really need, will we have that analysis before we have to make a decision?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we'll have some more background and some more analysis from you guys as engineers,
ideally,
from an engineering standpoint.
Ideally, we, in staff's mind, we would like this option to result in multiple sites for multiple stations so that we could have a plan secured long range. Does this get us there? Not sure yet. So
okay.
We really want to get there.
Thank you. Yep, that was my question exactly.
One thing I failed to mention here on the...
Another question, please. Or do you want to do that?
Let him go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
I failed to mention here back when I was discussing the options on the Henderson option for site number 7. The site number 7 is contingent on the PUD also purchasing the original site that we discussed with Mr. Henderson. So there would be additional property that we are not planning on evaluating going forward, but that if we purchase the property at site number 7, so there's additional property outside of site number 7 if we choose to go forward with that. So that's what the negotiation and option was with Mr. Henderson. I just wanted to clarify that there is additional property that's required to purchase. We're not moving forward with the evaluation of considering that additional property to be the site or an option.
Mr. Bowles.
Yeah, and Gary, you may cover this in a little bit, but when I'm looking at the Hellier site, with the connection to the transmission lines, the new transmission line connect on the bottom transmission line or above the Hellier site so that they come down, or do they go up, or has that been determined?
Yes, this is Gary. We have analyzed it from the upper transmission line.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Gary. All right, and what we're looking at right now is the Boyd Road substation Hellier site, and I'll draw your attention to the yellow lines. Each substation has power coming to it by way of transmission, and then you leave the substation with distribution with four different circuits, up to four. That's with a single bank transformer. Each of our substations is designed to have a second bank added in the future, which would allow for another four circuits. But for right now, all we would do is install four circuits with one transformer. So what you're seeing at the end of each of those yellow lines is a circuit number. So that would provide power to that location. The yellow push pins you see, that would be where we would tie into the existing electrical system. So part of Commissioner Congdon's comments earlier were if we're pushed out to the west a little bit with this Hellier site, what that would do is that would help bring some of the power closer towards Manson. So if you look at circuit number 2, that's getting down closer to Manson, and then also circuit number 1 near the top of the screen, that's getting power up above, with two remaining circuits feeding back toward town to meet the load. So depending on where the substation site is, we try to push the power to where it may be needed. What that also does, though, is it results in a little bit longer circuits, and the longer the circuit, the more it costs. And there's another consideration, and that's whether or not we go overhead or underground with that power. Our typical guideline is to match what's existing. If we're in an area of existing development that already has underground power lines, we like to go underground with that distribution. If we're out in a more rural area where there's above ground power lines, we like to go above ground. So that's the way that our consultant and with my direction performed this analysis, was to try to match existing. An interesting component of the Hellier substation site is that we're right on Boyd Road, and we're pretty close to a lot of existing development where we want to bring that power. So we're per our guideline, we're going underground down Boyd Road, actually following the road itself, one lane of the roadway. you can see with circuits 3 and circuits 4, those are shown buried in the roadway. The buried cost of power is about $300 a foot for our estimating for two circuits, and the above ground two circuit cost is about $100 a foot. So it's three times more. So the further we have to go with buried power, the costs do go up. So those are some of the considerations and costs you'll see coming forward the next time that we bring information forward. We're still doing some analysis there. What we have in front of us is not just our consultant, but we also talk with our own system engineers to try to find out where would be that best location to put power from a new substation to meet that future load growth. So this is a collaborative effort, but all the information you're seeing is being produced by our consultant. I also included, just for comparison purposes, the total transmission and distribution distances. You can see that in the top gray box. This one does have a transmission of 0.6 miles. That's coming from that upper Chelan-Wapato transmission line. And we also have a rendering of that. So what we did as part of this effort was not just take a look at the view impacts, the transmission distances, distribution distances, easement impacts, but we also wanted to give you a couple visuals, which we'll show to you on the next slides. Do you think of anything else, Chad, on that one, on this that we should describe?
Maybe just going back to the three options that were brought forward. We do not have costs on here, as we mentioned before, but Gary's been effective, and these two options is effective at reducing most, if not all, of the numbers that we felt were part of the decision making, which is the number of easements, the visual impacts, and the amount of transmission and distribution line miles. So the T&D line miles might be at the same or pretty much closer, but the visual impacts and the easement impacts have gone down.
And some of those easement impacts are down because if you do follow a public road right away that's a county road or a state highway, we have agreements with those agencies that allow us to get an easement or an agreement to put the power in those right of ways existing. So what you're seeing for the easement impacts, those are private property easement impacts for the most part.
Gary, before you move on, I want to add one thing because I found this confusing when I looked at this. The upper part of this picture that where there's a connection from the transmission line down to the new proposed substation site shows the yellow line that's UG underground, but there's a blue transmission line there that would not be underground. And I just want to make sure that's clear, and you'll see that in the pictures coming up too, that that would be overhead transmission.
Yeah, and I might go a little further on that too, just to build a more complete picture. We've been also working on the Leavenworth effort, and where we say we try to match existing distribution above ground or underground, depending on what's already there. In this area, that upper yellow line that goes to that is Circuit 1, we show that underground continuing on up Boyd Road. You would think that since this is a more rural area, maybe we'd show that above ground. What we did at Leavenworth was kind of a trade. If we had an existing distribution line, what we would do is we would show potentially burying that transmission or that distribution line because they're going to get a new transmission line. So there's going to be a line there. So rather than starting to stack additional wires on top of an existing line, if it happened that we had to go with transmission and distribution on the same route, we would show that distribution buried with just the transmission above ground. And that's what we've done here. So when you see the rendering for this transmission line, that tap, you'll see that it's just a transmission line, and we have shown the distribution underground. These are details that could be worked out. It doesn't necessarily have to go that way.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, that is the rendering.
Of the transmission.
Correct. All right, I'll move on and show that in a second. This is this engineering schematic showing the earthwork and the layout of the Hellier substation site. You'll notice that there's two banks shown here. We have one bank and then a second bank. We only need to build one to start with. These are laid out so that we can pull the mobile sub in, do a loop through the sub inside of the substation, and then exit in the same place that we came into the substation.
What to note here is this, there's a significant amount of fill. If you look at this, the site is kind of in a little bit of a bowl, so it'd be a matter of filling in that bowl and cutting into the side, so the station ends up kind of coming up a little bit.
Yeah, some of the constraints we had with this site, like Chad was saying, since it is in a bowl, we had some cut to create the fill to give us a level site. And then also there's an orchard access road around the backside to the remainder of the Hellyer property. And we had a constraint to maintain that road. We relocated it, but we did maintain that road. So this is the site existing. You can see that to the left, the orchard access or the maintenance road on the back. That road moves up a little bit. But just in the center of the photo is where we put the substation. There's also a private well near the back, near this tree, that's just outside of the substation limits.
As I mentioned before, there's pros and cons with each one of these sites. One of the pros with this site, at least in my mind, is that it's fairly well hidden here. It's right on the corner of Boyd Road. It's fairly well down in this location where it's not going to be seen by too many folks. So,
and it also has an existing orchard that helps shield it a little bit from people coming up Boyd Road. And there's the rendering with the substation. The power, the transmission would come in on the north side. And then the distribution circuits come out underground and then go down Boyd Road. I might mention there was one of the circuits that we showed once it went out through the open orchards being above ground. We did meet with that property owner last night, and he expressed his interest on some of that going underground by his house. So just to remind everybody that we're putting forward a set of constraints that we came up with that could be changed when it comes to distribution if that was necessary. This is showing the transmission, and it's looking south. The road that you see in front of you is not Boyd Road. Boyd Road is down near the center and turns to the side. So it comes up Boyd Road, and then it continues off to the side. This is another road that continues on to the north. It's right at where the transmission line, the upper transmission line, is located. So the consultant and I walked up on the hill to give a good picture looking straight down. And the transmission line, of course, like we were saying, is above ground. So there's the rendering of what the transmission line would look like going down the road. And the poles, the last pole that you can see, is actually where it's beginning to hit Boyd Road. And then it would continue down Boyd Road about the same distance and then turn into the substation. Again, we've only shown the transmission line. We were calling for one distribution circuit that would be buried in the roadway coming up. That could be put on the transmission line, and there could be some cost savings there. But for the purpose of the analysis, we're going to show it buried.
Gary, do you know the name, the residence that we can see there, the gray house? Do you know who owns that?
I don't off the top of my head, no. So that was what we had for the Hellyer site. When we move on to the Henderson site, and maybe I'll go back real quick just to show you the overview of where that is. We were here at the Hellyer site on the west side, west end of Boyd Road, north and west. Now we're moving off of Henderson, or off of Boyd Road, up Henderson Road, a little bit closer to the blue line. Again, we show the sections of overhead and underground, trying to match what's existing there. The substation is a little bit closer, or quite a bit closer. It's just off of the transmission line. No matter how close you put a substation to a transmission line, you still have to install some transmission poles to get the power down to the substation. What you do is you physically break the transmission line and have one end of the transmission line stop, turn 90 degrees, drop down into the substation, and then come back out of the substation, back up to where the transmission line is. Another pole goes in the ground, and then it continues on. So there's a, you don't just tap the transmission line. You actually bring the transmission line into the substation and then back out again. So you'll see that in the rendering. And when we were looking at properties in this area, we met with the focus group, and we actually had a field site visit. They had some other areas on the Henderson property that they thought would be good. We did take a look of those. Look at those. Several of them were down in the on the same actual parcel. And I think it's a maybe a 25 or 30 acre parcel, and out into the orchard. And we also looked across the gully that's there, and at some pulled orchard areas. And even though we looked at those, we don't know that any of those actually worked out better electrically for us. Plus, the property owner didn't really want to sell any of those. He felt that the piece of property that he's offering us in that area was the best hidden that he had, and it's close to the transmission line. But we did try to flush out other properties in those areas.
You want us to put those renderings up?
Yeah, sure. With the Henderson or with the Site 7 option, the transmission distances are down, transmission distribution distances are down, the visual impacts are down, and also the easement impacts are down. And if you look at the yellow lines showing the distribution lines, the circuits 1 and 2 to the left tie in very similar to where the circuits 3 and 4 for the Boyd Road option tie in. But the other two circuits move closer into town. So this option serves more of the load center closer to the blue line as opposed to where the Hellyer option pushed out a little bit more towards Manson. And again, that all comes along with some of the long-term planning and where we would put those circuits. So these circuits are a little bit shorter because it's located closer to that blue line, closer to where the load's immediately needed. Most of this is, most of it, of the circuits 1 and 2 are shown underground. There is a center section that is existing overhead, so we showed that as overhead. That could go underground. It would raise the cost if that portion went underground, but it's a relatively short piece, about 1,400 feet, that we do show overhead in this option. You come out of the substation underground, go up to Henderson Road, and then go above ground and follow that transmission line down to where it gets into the existing development on the south side of Boyd Road and goes underground again. Coming out the other way to the east, we show a route here that kind of zigzags around, crosses the gully, and then ties into an existing development and goes underground. So we're showing it a longer distance overhead. We have a couple options there. We could actually follow the transmission line itself. Or we can, and the consultant said the cost is about even between the two. We could look a little bit more at that. But again, what we do as far as overhead underground and on this option, the routing to the east could be changed a little bit until it gets to the development. So there are still some options there. The routing going to the west, at least the route, is the route that we prefer. This option still has a lot of underground, and you can see we're following through neighborhoods, then reconnecting with Boyd Road and going underground with two circuits. And that increases the cost, but going through existing neighborhoods, we don't really, I mean, we try to match what we have existing. It wouldn't really be feasible to go above ground in those sections. Are there any questions with the Henderson site that you may have? One thing I might add, just overall, when we were trying to look within that tighter circle of where, you know, closer to the low growth where we would like to put a substation, really the focus did come to looking down near that transmission line, as close as we could get to the transmission line, because there's a real trade-off. If you get away from the transmission line, you're building above ground transmission to the substation. So this site gets us really as good as we can get as far as getting close to the transmission line. And then we also try to stay out of populated areas. But even with all the population you see here, if we move out or anywhere along that transmission line, there's sporadic growth out there. There are still homes with view sites that looking one way or the other. We just can't really find a location due to the growth that we can put the substation that it's not going to impact some views in one direction or another. This Henderson Site 7, we're again showing that you would drive in, you would be able to pull around in a loop and drive out the same way with a mobile sub. The Henderson site was a little bit more difficult as far as earthwork went. Even though our option shows that we would be purchasing 5 acres, that would include the land that goes up to the substation. It's a hill up there, and we're putting this substation down in the lower draw. There's quite a bit of earthwork, and with that earthwork, we did achieve our 1 acre that we're looking for, but it was very tight to do. And to minimize that earthwork, we did put this site on a slope, about a 2.5% slope. If we tried to make this site go completely level, we would add to the earthwork, add to the scarring that would be seen with the substation. So we figure we can go up to about 3% slope within the substation and still keep it a viable site. This is a picture up near Henderson Road looking east. You can see a transmission tower there. If you look real hard, you can see another transmission tower across the gully. There's no transmission towers in between those. And then you can see lines continuing to head west. It's a straight transmission line that cuts through there. Where we're looking at going with the proposed substation at this site would be down in this low area of the orchard. The 5 acres would include part of the access road to the orchard that you see to the left. It would come across, include the hill up by the transmission tower, including where the transmission tower is located. So it would be a square, and in the very bottom of that square where the orchard is the location that we felt that we could carve out an acre and make a substation site. This is the rendering of the substation. It's a little bit further away than the Hellyer site looked as far as a perspective from when we took the picture, so the substation site looks smaller, but it's still the same 1 acre that it was on the Hellyer site. I might draw your attention to the, again, the existing transmission towers. What we're proposing for our cost analysis anyhow is that we don't remove any of the existing towers, but instead would make that break that I was talking about, where you take the transmission lines in to a pole that's self-supporting, and then bring it down to another pole, and then lop it into the substation. And this is really the best that we can do coming into any substation. You're not going to really locate a substation directly under a transmission line, I don't believe, Chad, would we?
It's theoretically possible.
Okay, well, this one, the transmission line's on a hill, and we can't locate a substation there. So this is the best that we can do with this site. So we're cutting the transmission line, going into the substation, coming out on another transmission line, and continuing on with that transmission. The substation would have a single access road into it. The mobile sub would be able to do a loop, and then come back out, park the mobile sub if it were required for maintenance or repairs, and then pull straight back out.
Gary, the slope of the road is adequate to be able to move that equipment in and out?
It's adequate, but difficult. So wintertime access or different types of access, it may involve, you know, chaining up the and tow vehicle, may even require, on worst case scenarios, you know, just some sort of help to get the mobile sub in there.
But I mentioned operational pros and cons, and we'll work on trying to bring those together and bring those forward. But that is one of them. So it's not only access into the immediate substation site, but also the grade up Henderson Road. It's pretty steep, pretty narrow, mobile substation is pretty big. So that would be an operational sacrifice, I think, that we would make. So we would have to do some special provisions. Don't know that necessarily the tractor is underpowered or that the mobile sub couldn't make it. It's the contingency if something went wrong on a slope. We would want to make sure that we covered that. The other option is maybe we build both of the both of the banks in there, so we have online capacity that's sitting there and no need then, at least in the near term, to bring in the mobile. That's an option. Whereas the Boyd site, the Hellier site, it's right next to Boyd Road, plowing the snow. Access is going to be easier, more possibility of the substation. The other side of that is you notice there's a transmission loop that comes in and out of this Henderson site. We did not show that and go for and present that for the Hellier site, which means that any transmission maintenance that was required between where we tap off the 0.6 or 0.7 miles would require a substation outage. So that would have to be scheduled appropriately, and at some point in time, maintenance would not be available if the loading was high enough on the station. So there's several operational constraints and concessions and pros and cons that, you know, we'll have to continue to evaluate.
What's the history of the frequency of need for the mobile substation to go to any particular substation? How often does that occur?
As stations age, we're performing maintenance, top to bottom maintenance on our substations between 4 and 5 years. Newer stations is closer to 8. Any questions on the the Site 7 Henderson option there? So next steps, at least that we're planning at this point, take these options, further explore the operational pros and cons, continue to explore the costs, bring that information forward to the focus group has been very helpful in helping and guide designs and guide decisions and provide information back to board. So we want to seek guidance in community, potential community meetings. So we'll seek some guidance from the focus group on that. I mentioned we're building up to here, trying to get to the November timeframe to make a decision on the path forward, which station, if not both stations, and then which station we move forward with first. In October, we'd present that those options, probably late October, to the board.
Commissioners, before I open the floor to public input, any additional questions or comments about the presentation?
I just want to say thank you. I know you guys have done a tremendous amount of work. This is not easy. Really appreciate all the time you put into this. Many trips up there, lots of photographs, lots of analysis. So thank you.
Commissioner Arsenault.
So Chad, if we can go back one slide. There's off in the distance where those other transmission lines are, there's look like pavement for a road.
Is it right where the cursor is right there?
Yes. Is it possible, one, to get an easement to use that for a mobile substation, and would that alleviate some of the difficulty in bringing one in?
I can show. Want me to answer that, Chad? If we go back to the overhead picture, you're talking about this road section right here, and real close to John Dreyer's house, I believe. There's a gully, a real deep gully, coming through right here.
Okay.
And there would be no way to cross that.
No. All right.
Definitely an example of things that we want to try to work through and consider. Now that we've identified these two specific sites, we can start asking questions and bringing forward ideas and thoughts around each one of those options and try to explore those. So that's exactly what we need to be working on at this point forward.
Thank you.
Commissioner Congdon.
Yeah, Chad, would you help me or maybe all of us with what you described as at this site, the Henderson site, building up the sides and doing online, I can't remember exactly how you described it, but that would alleviate the need of bringing the mobile station in. I don't understand how that would work, so could you bring that back?
Sure. So the purpose of the mobile substation is to be able to take the equipment inside the station, primarily the power transformer. That's the heart of the substations, right? So being able to take that power transformer offline so that we could perform maintenance. But also, if there's a problem with the transformer or the protection equipment removes it from service, anybody that's connected to that substation would then go out of power.
Right.
So the idea is our contingency right now is the mobile substation. So what we would do then is we would roll the mobile substation in, and whatever couldn't get transferred to adjacent stations, we would bring the other option.
Yeah, the other option is what I don't understand. How do you do it without the mobile substation?
We would build that second transformer bank in there now. So we would essentially have our mobile permanently installed.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
A non-mobile mobile.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
The concessions that we would make with that, however, if we were going to hold on to that option, that would mean that expanding the capability of that station would not be possible, meaning we would be reserving that second transformer for contingencies.
Yeah.
So,
great.
Or if you ever expanded it, you just realize that at that point on, then you would have to use the mobile. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And build the space for the mobile effect.
Build the space.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to go back to question that I asked a little bit earlier, maybe ask it a little different way, because I understand the concern with mobile and inclement weather. You indicated that maybe once a substation ages, you need to go in every 4 or 5 years. That's a scheduled outage.
Correct.
And so that doesn't, I mean, that you can plan around inclement weather. What's the history of incidents of needing to get into sites with inclement weather being a wild card?
January this year.
Yep. How many sites did you have to get into?
Just one. That was with the Miller substation outage when Miller tripped offline.
Right. One out of 35 substations.
Right. It's rare.
That's my point. It's rare.
It's rare.
Yeah.
We're good at doing maintenance and paying attention to these assets, so it is rare. So, to your point, those are operational risks and concessions that I think are on the table to consider.
Yeah, you bet.
Probably not a more difficult substation to get into than Miller, though, in the middle of winter.
Yeah, its own challenges.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, any other questions before I open it up? I recognize a lot of guests in the audience, and I would like to open it up at this time for comments or questions of staff on what we've just been presented. But ask that you come to the microphone and name an address for the record.
Porky Thorson, 63 Balsam, and Robin and I own a house about 5 iron. The Henderson proposal is. Anyway, I want to thank all the hard work you guys have put into it. I know you have. We haven't seen a lot the last 4 months because of summer and everyone's busy and what have you. Chad and Gary, I want to thank you for the work you guys have put into it. I know it's been a lot of effort on your part. A couple things I would like to ask the engineers here. In regard to the Henderson site, I see 4 lines going down, transmission lines, and 4 coming back up. There are existing 3 right now that transverse across our property, just in the bottom part of our lake view. How would that connect, and are there going to be 4 transmission lines if that were to go into place in front of our property, or the existing 3 going to remain?
Are you speaking to this photo
yeah.
here?
Yeah, yeah. You have, looks like four going down and four coming up.
Oh, the protection.
Yeah. Go ahead. So the existing transmission line has three wires on it. So it does show four lines. That top line is a 3/8 steel cable line for lightning protection.
Okay.
So it's a lightning shield.
So it'll be basically three lines.
So it would be three power lines, but there would be four wires.
Right.
So you're correct.
In just in the tap section, though, not in the lines that go in front of your house.
So the existing lines and poles that exist now, would they remain the same height and the same three lines? If Henderson were to go into
not exactly sure. So it's going to depend on those two inset poles there where we're breaking the transmission line. Mm-hmm. By breaking that transmission line, do we structurally change the requirements of the two structures that are lead and leg that?
Right.
Does that make sense?
You're referring to the poles.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So if
to be determined.
Pardon?
To be determined.
I understand. So if the Hellyer site were to go, come into play, would that change our transmission poles and or transmission lines in front of our house?
Not sure.
You're not sure. Okay. All right.
Not the number of wires, but the height of the line may change.
So it may go up. It won't go down.
Well, he's talking about Hellyer.
Oh, Hellyer and or Henderson.
Okay.
Both of them. But what we don't, I like to make it clear, what we don't want to have occur is taller transmission poles and taller lines. Because,
right.
You know, I bought the property 27 years ago, and the lines are where they are. We bought that, we understood that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't buy into is the idea that there's going to be six additional lines that were proposed, like, you know, six to eight months ago. And I don't know for sure that that's been taken off the table yet. I think it is, but I don't know for sure. I want you guys to tell us, but I know you're still working on analysis and cost and engineering. I understand that. What I'm afraid of is all of a sudden it's going to accelerate and boom, it's going to be a done deal. And it's going to go into play and there's nothing we can do about it. So I'm here to basically ask the questions I want to ask today to get answers in regard to that. So
I want the same questions answered. I don't know exactly. So these renderings are not based on engineering analyses. These renderings are based on what we think conceptually we're going to put in here, how that actually impacts in the design of the heights of the poles and things.
Right.
So I can't answer your question specifically, but I will be able to. We will be able to when we perform that work. And I want to understand what's going to happen with the heights of these lines and what the exact impacts are going to be.
Now, in regard to what you had said earlier, Chad, about the Hellyer lot being flatter, easier access, but at the same time, undergrounding and overheading is going to be a little more costly that Gary described. I understand that. But what I would like to say to the commission is that in regard to your latest flyer that came out, you know, touting how much you folks have saved all the ratepayers, I advocate for that. I'm all for saving money, and that's running an efficient business, absolutely. But at what point, at what cost? Because if the Henderson property were to go into play, it's going to be in line of sight of our view toward downtown Chelan. And it's going to be illuminated, and there's going to be that steady hum that you have from substations. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. When I bought the property 27 years ago, it was the peace and quiet and the view that really attracted me. And if any of you had been up there, or maybe you have been up there, I don't know, you'd see it and you'd say, wow, to run extra lines up through this guy's view, that would be a travesty of private property rights. And that, to me, that's the basis of what freedom in our country is all about. I don't want to digress here, but it's essential that we respect one individual's private property rights. And I've heard people say that they're concerned about, well, how do I tell a lady in INEAD her rates are going up $2 a month? Well, I would say that they're going up $2 a month because we're trying to preserve this valuable view corridor for everyone, not just for Thorson and Vogel up here on the hill. So, and I'm sure that same lady will have a Starbucks occasionally at $4, you know. So it's not a hardship for that person. I don't care who you are. It's going to be a hardship for us, and our property is going to be devalued if the Henderson design goes into play. And our enjoyment of our property is going to be affected, negatively impacted. So with that being said, like I said, I'd advocate for the Hellier site. I think it's more rural. It's flatter. Just looking at the site, I know Ann mentioned that one house up there. I don't want them to be impacted. I don't know if they're here today or not. Everybody has the right to come in here and voice their opinion. But it's not in a view of their lake, which is huge. All visual impacts are not the same. You're not comparing apples to apples. If you saw our view, you'd say, wow, it's just stunning. And so that's the point I'd really like to push home. Well, that's basically it. I want to thank you for listening to me. And like I said, I'd advocate strongly for the Hellier property, even if it costs a bit more. I think it's sometimes in running a business, we have to loosen our purse strings a little bit to do the right thing. And I implore you, in this case, to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Larson. I'd just like to say that I think we're committed to you. You asked a couple of questions we didn't have answers for today. Yeah. We're committed to getting you answers prior to making a final
decision. Yeah, and Chad said that. Thanks, Steve.
I just want to make a comment. Corky, thank you for your factual, responsible, polite message.
There's no other way to do it.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Robin Vogel, 63 Balsam Drive, Chelan. And just kind of a follow-on to a couple of the comments that Corky made. I know Tika and a few other people that were at the meeting, the rather informal meeting yesterday, Chad and Gary and everybody. They're quite aware that I was not happy at all, and I'm sure that information has probably been passed on to the commissioners as well. And a big part of that was, number one, was getting a lot of this information all at once and looking at all these diagrams and trying to figure out, okay, where are these lines going to go? And obviously, as anyone here whose property might be affected, you know, how is this going to affect my property? Where are these going to go? How is this going to affect my neighbors? And as has been made very clear, which I was even a little bit confused about yesterday, is we don't know yet exactly where these transmission lines are going to go, what the height is going to be. And again, to just kind of reiterate Corky's concern about the possibility of the taller poles with more lines on them, and if that does happen, it would decimate our view, because right now the lines, the transmission lines that we have and that have been there from day one of ownership of this property, are just below our primary lake view, if you will. When you look out the windows, you're out on the deck, whatever. If those were to go up at all, they'll be right smack dab in the middle of our view from our hot tub, from our house, and, of course, the upstairs bedrooms will be looking right down on the substation right next door to us. So that is a huge concern, and we absolutely want to be kept in the loop on this. And in regard to Steve's comment earlier about feeling some tension as time has marched on in this whole search for a substation, again, I mentioned yesterday, have there been any discussions between PUD and the City of Chelan to put a temporary moratorium on building permits so that you don't have this guillotine hanging over all of our heads and we can do this right? And it sounded like, well, they've talked. I don't really know what that means. Maybe someone here can answer that. My understanding from someone who works with the city is that it actually would ultimately be a money saver for them. It would not have a negative economic impact to temporarily halt building permits, unlike on the west side where it's a huge money maker for them. Apparently it's not in the City of Chelan. So that is something I'll throw out again as a suggestion, because it does sound like, you know, obviously the time crunch is getting tighter and tighter, and I recognize that. And I understand you guys have a responsibility to keep the lights on. I get that. But again, if we end up with the Henderson site being the chosen property for the substation and higher and more transmission lines, basically, in my opinion, our property, Corky and I, will be taking the brunt of this entire search for the North Shore substation for everybody else. For everybody in Lookout, for everybody in Crystal View, for everybody at the Reserve, for everybody at Legacy. We're the ones who are going to be impacted in order to keep rates low for a seventh year, the lowest in the country, for everybody in this valley. And quite frankly, that's what made me angry yesterday. So again, thank you for all the work. Thank you for allowing us to have our say here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Any additional input?
Good morning.
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 How are you?
Good.
First and foremost, my name is John Dreyer. I live at 126 Pinnacle Place. You can see it right up there. as your comment, I wanted to address that moving it closer to the street there would not be acceptable to folks. You'd mentioned something about further. Can you go back to the other one? You said further down the line where that pole is.
Oh.
There are a lot of expensive homes that sit right there.
I think the question was, could an easement road to get a substation in, should it be needed for access? Not moving the substation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
The second piece is, and I have to share the concern that these folks have in that particular site. We looked at it, and I was part of the group that walked. We walked all over the place, and there were a couple other spots further up the hill over there.
Yeah, we were looking right on this bench.
Yeah, there is a spot farther up, and it's down in a valley, so it's not really visible, and you can actually tie in to either the top transmission lines or the bottom. It's kind of right in between. But I have to say that out of the two, and like I said, we traveled around. We did a lot of work looking at that. And I've been on the committee for, 2.5 years now? So we would like to see this move forward. But at the same time, we have to be cognizant of all the issues that have been brought forth. The problem, just to be aware of, trying to get to the Henderson site the way it is right now, as you can see, there's that loop that you have to go up Henderson Road, and I've driven that in the wintertime, and that's very, very difficult, to say the least. The one question I would have is, in the rendering, is that farther down in the valley, or is it halfway down? Chad, I can't tell from that rendering.
Yeah, we're...
You know,
right about where the dot is right there, there's a small acre right here.
Is it? It's not at the very bottom.
No.
No.
Okay.
It would be sitting right here.
Okay. So that raises it up higher so it's visible.
More visible, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I would speak not in favor of the Henderson site at this particular time because the dynamics do look like they're going to have higher poles and things like that. And I think that would be unfortunate because it would be visible, even though it's not looking towards the lake. There's a lot of folks, that's becoming the only dark sky area that we have in Chelan now. When you, there's that dark sky ordinance and the north is it, you know, and these folks are looking towards the city of Chelan, but they also would be able to see all of the lights that are generated from that. I don't know how much light you have on those.
Well, one attribute also, John, is if we move this further down into the low area you were talking about,
yeah,
we're then around the corner of the hill, and it's not tucked in. And from your development, you would be able to see it actually better if it wasn't tucked behind this hill. So it's a balance. If we move down further, then it's more visible from the larger portion of town. And back here, less of the town would be able to see it.
Yeah.
And the last one was where Mr. Henderson would allow us to put it.
Yeah. I was there with Mr. Henderson. He's a very nice man. Yeah. But he's very opinionated, just like I am. I have to say that. So hopefully we'll get some more answers. We have a meeting coming up this next Monday, is it? Yeah. I don't know if you'll have enough information Monday to be able to answer some of the questions we have, but at least what we can do on Monday is develop those kinds of questions so that we can move forward and talk about what's important. We've been doing this a long time, so I've always said this, and I'll say it again. These are really fine people that we're working with. They have the constraints they have to deal with, homeowners like me, but we appreciate it. So with that, I look forward to hearing what they have to say on Monday. An access road the other way, I don't know. The one last comment on the Henderson site, though, there will be a lot of road work in the housing areas, and there's only one road that goes up to Pinnacle Place. I know. I live there. And that would be a lot of work in that area. And it's like this. So take that under consideration. I think the other site has pretty good access. I mean, it's right off of Boyd Road. I do share the concern that they raised about the lines in front of that one person's house, but it's pretty rural out that way, so you might want to take a hard look at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate your comments. Thank you.
If I could just make one quick comment, Mr. Dreyer, thank you for your comments. And I do think it's important at this point in the process, we've been narrowing for a long time here, and we did make the choice that we were going to try to avoid condemnation. That we were going to try to find willing sellers, and that the condemnation process would be both risky and add a fair amount of time to being able to move forward. So we don't really have other options right now to look at, to go consider, well, could you move it over here or over there? As was mentioned, this was the property. These are the properties that we could find where we had willing sellers that met our criteria. So we're really focused on these two options at this point.
Commissioner Congdon.
I don't believe the PD has ever condemned a piece of property. Am I right?
Eric Walquist, Commissioner, not in the 21 years I've been associated with.
So it's not something we do lightly. I mean, we just don't do it. Not to say it will never be done. And then I just have one other last thing. I will not be at the meeting on Monday. I'm in California taking care of an issue with a difficult grandson, and it's been on my calendar for a couple of weeks. It's been on my calendar, I think, for a month, so it's unfortunate, but I can't change it and be at that meeting, and I apologize. I'm not happy about it.
Okay. Additional public input?
Randy, I have a question, I guess, for staff. In terms of lighting, at the substations, we're in the business of recognizing the dark sky requirements and street lights and those kinds of things. What is the consideration for lighting that would be low level in this substation itself, but dark sky above it? Is there progress in that area or consideration?
There is definitely consideration. We've got the engineers are working on what our requirements are and what we would need to do, and also the focus group. We're a little bit further ahead in Leavenworth, so I think that'll get resolved through Leavenworth first. We're in discussions with property owners. Some great ideas have come out of that about, motion detection. So if there's motion, the lights come on, that might satisfy our security issues. Security is concerned with anytime you have something that people can move around in and not detected, then they're more apt to move around in those areas, and we do not want that because of safety reasons. There's copper and things that and valuable metals inside those stations that people try to steal, and that could be a fatal decision. So we want to make sure that we have some sort of lighting, but low level lighting, moving away from our current standard, which is just a lot of light within the station. So try to move away from that. Try to get some visibility into the station, try to get security, reduce the lighting, but then also operationally have lighting available so that it can be turned on or put on a timer if we need to do maintenance. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. We're working on that, and I hope to see something that's going to satisfy all, both engineering, operations, security and also the community around it.
And LED lighting will also allow us to...
Another great option, something that we haven't had, you know, forever. So a lot of great new technology options.
Additional questions?
I'd like to just make a comment, and this comment is for the audience, but also for my fellow commissioners. And this is, sometimes we forget, even us who represent the power industry, just how much electricity and light bring to our life, because we're just used to walking in a room, and maybe that's the downside of having such a successful rate of uptime within the community. So I just want to remind everyone that recently we had a hurricane in Texas. One of my college buddies lives in Houston. He had a cell phone, and we were able to talk, and I called and asked if he needed any help. And he made a comment. He said, you know, I can deal with all the other stuff, but what I can't deal with is that when my cell phone goes dead, I can't talk to anybody. I don't have any access to television. I don't have any lights. I can't run the pump to get water out of my house. And his life was totally different, just in an instant. I talked with him later, and after power, he got a generator, and he was able to return to life. And he said, life only became normal after I got my power back. Up until then, you could feed me, you could give me a hot meal, but life was not normal. I needed my lights, I needed my power. It just so happens a few weeks later, a hurricane hit Florida. I have a college buddy that lives in South Florida. Called him. Same story. Same exact story. They hadn't had power, his wife was going crazy, and they were getting hot food, but they didn't have any lights. They didn't have any TV. They didn't, other than the batteries and a radio, they didn't know what was going on in the rest of the world. I heard the same thing from both of them, that when the power came back, comfort returned. Life got back to normal. It means so much that we take for granted. The reason I bring this up is here we are. We're talking about a substation in Chelan. We're reaching capacity levels. We're concerned about what might happen if we have another extremely cold winter, or if there's some catastrophe or the system goes down. We're trying to build into this redundancy. And so I bring this up just as a reminder to maybe get us all grounded again, just how important it is to have electricity and have it not go away. And if you really want to find the answer out, just do without it for a while and have extremely cold weather, have a catastrophe, have an earthquake, have something happen when you need it and you don't have it. So I think the work that we're doing here is extremely important. Probably I didn't understand the gravity of how important it was until I spoke to two of my college buddies who are doing without it. So we've been dealing with this issue for 2 years. As one commissioner, I'm anxious. I would love to have a substation before this winter. Because I remember last winter. And I remember what it was like when Miller Street went out. And people were cold. And if you didn't have a wood stove, you were very cold. So this is important work that we are doing. And it's important to move forward and to get the ball down the field. So I just wanted to share with everyone what citizens in this country are dealing with in different parts of the world, and they look at us with envy.
So, thank you.
Yeah, and Robin, just a comment to, assure you that you're concerned about the heights of the line, you and Corky. Because of a stem cell transplant, I'd not been able to walk the properties until last week. And when we were standing where the road forks and goes down into the proposed site near your home, when we finished looking at that, we turned to go back to the vehicle. And I wanted to look at the height of the line, but I hadn't shared that with John Stoll, who was kind enough to chauffeur me. And I said, so John, as we walk back, what is the primary concern of the people whose view may be impacted? And the first words out of his mouth was the height of the line, you know, and options that are being considered. And so what that told me is your concern has been heard, you know, by the staff and is seriously being considered. As the engineers this morning, John was not able to give me a commitment as to what those heights were going to be and probable cost. But I think the important thing is it's a high level of consideration and the message that you delivered, been delivering, has been received, and we'll put our best step forward that we can do.
Any other questions or comments? Staff has laid out for us their plan going forward, and I think they're looking to us to say, looks like a plan. And it, to me, it looks like a plan to move forward. We do need to do this. Gary, I have to add on to your thoughts and comments. My brother was in the eye of Irma in Lakeland, and we lost contact for 48 hours. And he had a cell with a good battery, no electricity, no cell towers. Mm-hmm. I mean, so loss of electricity is big.
Any other questions or?
So you'll be moving forward. Look forward to the public meeting. That is next Monday. Community focus. So it's not okay. It's not actually an open public meeting then.
All of our meetings are public.
Okay.
If someone wanted to attend, okay, that would be fine. But the invitation was to our focus group members so that we could go over this presentation and talk about next steps with our outreach. And that was the intention.
Tika, the time on that.
So tentatively scheduled for 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Monday.
Yeah, so tentatively scheduled for Monday at 9 a.m. I'm still waiting to hear back from a handful of focus members to make sure that that time worked for them. So I'm hoping to confirm that today. But as of right now, in the Chelan office at 9 a.m. And, yeah, let me know if you have any questions about the
meeting.
Monday
the 25th.
Monday the 25th, yep.
So the Commissioner Conklin's already indicated she isn't going to be able to attend. Is there an expectation that three or more of you would be planning to show up?
Might be able to make it.
So yeah. It's not certainly required, but if there's an interest, we would need to set it as a public meeting.
If there's more than three of us.
Correct.
Yeah. I was thinking it was normal kind of at the end of the day. And I'm thinking, now, do I give up physical therapy? You know, so sitting there with a question. But 9 in the morning is very feasible.
So we probably would do well, even if three did not make it, if there's an expectation they might, to set a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have some time even this afternoon set aside. Yeah. I'll have a motion prepared for you if that's acceptable.
You bet.
So if that's the case, it sounds like we might be changing the intention of this meeting, and we might want to change the location. Are we wanting to make it a public meeting then?
We don't want to change the intention.
Okay.
Of the meeting.
So still a focus group meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
But
if we change it to a public meeting, I'm just saying if we have a lot of interest, we might want to change the location. So I'll look for an alternative location.
So
why
don't we think that through? I need to have all of that for the motion. So
okay, and
I'd like to have some more conversation about even when.
Okay, sounds good. We'll make those decisions, and I'll make sure to get that communication out to whom it needs to go to.
Okay. So just as to provide optionality. The chair does have the ability to set a special meeting outside of this public setting by email. So that does give us an option more than 24 hours in advance so we can make the public notice provisions. But as you move forward with your conversation today or later, we do have some optionality in terms of how we would notice that.
Is there any other, anything else to come before us right now?
We do not have any other items this morning. Other than, because of the time we're finishing, we did have lunch arranged for you. It's possible we might start the board workshop Can we do this?
Just so that. So no, the way we set them as two separate meetings, we would have been able to do that had we set one special meeting, but we made the considered decision to set two special meetings, so we're locked into 1 o'clock.
Oh, we are.
We can start late. We can't start.
Well, I guess we will have an enjoyable lunch.
If there's nothing more to come before us this morning, we will stand adjourned.